into our commissioner's court. Is this loud enough? We can hear, I think, can't we? You hear in the back? Okay. If we would have someone this morning who would volunteer for our invocation, do we have someone who would do that? I don't want everybody to jump up all at one time. Okay. That'd be great. Thank you. If you would come to the mic, that would be wonderful. And then if you'd lead us in the pledges.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come to you today and we ask, Lord, for your guidance to this court and the actions before the court, that you would give them the wisdom and discernment to handle the business of Montgomery County. We ask, Father, for safety and protection for our men and women of law enforcement in these trying times. We ask for healing for our country and for our city and for our communities. For it's in Jesus' name I ask all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Pledges?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you all, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present for our Commissioner's Court this morning. We do have a quorum. Approval of the Commissioner's Court agenda. Do I have a motion?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. We have, we're going to take this time right now for our, if there are citizens who, if you've signed up at the beginning of this to make a comment, if you want, on any items that have to do with either the general agenda or the consent agenda. Is there anyone here to offer comment? All right. If there is not. Oh, there you are over there. Yes. If you would, please. Welcome. Proceed.
Good morning. Thank you, Judge. Commissioners, my name is Eric Yalick. I'm a private citizen.
You can speak into the mic as best you can. Thank you.
My name is Eric Yalick. I'm a private citizen. I currently live in Precinct 3. I wanted to speak about Agenda Item 12A, which concerns the 457th District Court budget, which apparently you are considering today. I've handed out a sheet that has a proposal for you with respect to that budget. There is an item for elected official judge, and you have proposed a budget for the period of July 15th through September 30th, which is the current fiscal year 2020. I would suggest that no elected official in the state of Texas should receive a salary higher than $153,750 per year, which is the salary that Attorney General Ken Paxton and Governor Greg Abbott currently receive. For that reason, I hope that this court will consider zeroing out the county portion of the 457th district judge's salary and only include, obviously, what comes from the state, which is not your responsibility. With respect to court administrator and the two court coordinators, this court does not need two court coordinators. It needs a court administrator, probably, and it needs a court coordinator. No employee of this court should receive a salary higher than $50,000 a year. And so the entries that are shown in the proposal reflect that. As far as a research attorney, an experienced attorney who is sitting as the judge of the 457th District Court, especially under today's circumstances, should not require a research attorney. For a long time, Harris County Civil District judges never used research attorneys. For a long time, the best judges that we've had in this county didn't use research attorneys. We do not need a research attorney. And let me just give you a quick illustration. If you look at...
Please remember that we have 3 minutes for comment, so proceed.
I'm sorry, am I over?
No, you're not. I just wanted to remind, because we're... Proceed, if you would, please, and we'll take that time that I just took and give it to you.
Okay, and I'm almost done,
yeah,
Judge.
Yeah.
If you look at a research project that in 1989, when I first became an attorney, would take a full day, Now, with electronic research resources, I could do the same project in 15 to 20 minutes. We do not need a research attorney for a district judge in a civil district court. With respect to office furniture and supplies, I think $3,000 is sufficient. With respect to the other items on there, I've added in the correct amounts that this court should consider so that the total budget for the remainder of this year, if that court is to operate, should be $65,022.08, as opposed to the proposal, which is more than twice that amount. Given the current economic circumstances of Montgomery County and the United States with respect to the COVID-19 crisis, I hope that you will look for ways to reduce spending as aggressively as possible. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming to court and sharing your opinion with us. All right, as we move forward,
got a couple more.
Did we sign up for these? We did not sign up. We did. We didn't. Pardon me? Okay, we have two people who would like to make comments. Yes. If you would please, and state your name and purpose and the item that you want to comment on, if you would please.
Yes. My name is Christopher Block, and I'm a citizen of Kingwood in Harris County. I brought today a UBS drive that I'd like to be able to give to the Commissioner's Court. With respect to flooding issues in Harris County, particularly Kingwood, that can be impacted by the actions of the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court. Much of the water coming into Kingwood is coming from Montgomery County. The Harris County Flood Control District indicates that they've asked Montgomery County to take some measures, you know, I don't know what the status of that is, but I have provided all this information. I'm a retired engineer to the Harris County Flood Control District. Some of the measures that could be implemented by Montgomery County or in conjunction with Harris County, if you give them permission to do the work in Montgomery County, would be greatly appreciated.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much. If you could leave that over here, that would be great. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. There was another person that raised their hand. Yes, if you would. This is an item on the agenda, so because of the items are noticed here for comment.
Okay, so this is, my name is Heather Schoonover, and I'm with Texan Towing. This is in regards to the rotation, and I personally want to thank each one of you for listening to us. We had workshops. We had different meetings. Thank you, Sheriff. I think for the most part, we're all pleased with what we got overall. I am, anyway. I do have one concern, and that is an administration fee of $25 with each tow. So my question is, am I paying this regardless if the car is picked up or not, or just if the car is picked up? Like, I got bicycles and lawnmowers. Am I paying $25 on each one of those? That's probably the only concern I have, is the administrative fee of $25 on each tow. But other than that, I do, again, thank each one of you for listening to us and dealing with us, because I know we was a little rowdy in here sometimes. But overall, I'm very happy with the outcome that we got.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your comments very much.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You'd state your name for the record and the purpose.
Clint Bass, Bass Towing and Recovery.
Would you mind saying that again?
Bass Towing and Recovery, and also part owner in a new storage lot that I just purchased because of Montgomery County and the workshop that we had here, that three or four of you commissioners actually said that y'all didn't see a problem with shared storage lots. But now, once again, we're right back to no shared storage lots. Absolutely no shared storage lots is what it says, at all. We had a workshop. We came here. There were a lot of people that were opposed. There were some people that were for it. We left here with the understanding that we were going to be fine. without having to purchase our own storage lot. So I partnered up with a guy. Now I'm sitting on $10,000 worth of stuff that he's either going to have to buy from me or I'm going to have to buy from him. So now you're creating a legal issue between me and this fellow.
This is an item on the agenda, and we'll
be up for it. Yes, it is,
and it's up for discussion. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, Clint. Is there anyone else? Have any more comments? If not, then let's move forward. Thank you very much. As we go to our proclamations and resolutions and presentations, Taylor Nichols for Employees of the Month.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Shannon Jackson. Taylor is the old recognition coordinator. Today, I'm going to present April, May, and June's Employee of the Month. So first for April, if I could have Sergeant Glisten.
Sergeant?
I'm Sergeant Glisten. I'm with the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. I'd like to present the Employee of the Month Award to Detective John Naquette.
Where is John with us? Here he comes. All right, John?
Yeah.
If you speak right into the microphone.
Sorry. Detective Naquette started his career with the Sheriff's Office about 21 years ago. He has worked in multiple divisions in the Sheriff's Department, including the Jail Division, the Patrol Division, and the Detective Division. One of his greatest achievements was being promoted to the rank of Detective. Detective Naquette currently investigates property crimes and crimes against people. He is a thorough investigator and has brought many criminals to justice. Not only does Detective Naquette perform his duties as a detective, he also volunteers in other roles within the Sheriff's Department, such as being a negotiator with a crisis negotiation team. He also volunteers as a drone operator with the Sheriff's Office. Most of those who know John knows he does so much for this community. For instance, he attends dinners at a foster home where he mentors kids who are in the foster care system. He also has concerns for the safety of children and teaches parents on how to properly install car seats and secure children as well. John does not do these things for recognition. He does them because he feels it's the right thing to do. John is a kind, giving person who would help anyone in need. For this reason, I believe Detective John Naquette is very deserving of the award of Employee of the Month.
John, congratulations. That's excellent. Excellent. Get a good picture of you guys right there.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations, John. Well done.
Okay, next up we have May Employee of the Month. So if Jason Millsaps would like to come up here.
You can't give it to the judge.
Jason. No, it's not for me either. Thank you, commissioners and judge. Good morning. It's an honor to be here this morning again, as I see you every Tuesday when we're in court. But this morning I brought with me a very special person who is very deserving of the Employee of the Month for the month of May, and it's Morgan Lumley in our emergency management office. I'm getting stares because this is a complete surprise to her. Come on, Morgan. So, as you know, OEM's been very busy the last few months, and they can get Employee of the Month if I had enough months in the year for this. But Morgan, in one instance, went above and beyond to help a citizen back in March, as I recall the story. It was an elderly lady who had been taken by ambulance to the hospital, who was suspected of having COVID. She was checked out and released by the hospital, and the paramedics showed a concern for her well-being that she seemed homeless to them and had reached out to Morgan in the office to try to find shelter for the lady. Because of COVID and social distancing, shelters were already full, and Morgan spent several hours into the night tracking down family members and tracking down a place for this lady to stay. She arranged a hotel room for her for the evening, made sure she got there, was secure and fed, The next morning, arranged transportation for her to go to her son's house in, I believe it was Port Neches. So because of Morgan, an elderly woman didn't sleep on the streets that evening, and she was taken care of not only for that evening but permanently as she was transported to her son's house, where she was not, in fact, homeless. She just couldn't get there. And for that, we've nominated Morgan for Employee of the Month for the month of May.
All right.
That is excellent. Thank you so much.
So Morgan likes to share in her accolades, but she's done many things that could be nominated for. But the entire team at OEM has many examples every day where they're going above and beyond and helping everyone in the county with instances like this or stories like this. I hate they're all here today. I wanted to give a shout-out to them for all the hard work they've been doing for the last few months, but especially because Morgan for the month of May.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Morgan.
Congratulations.
Tell me later.
Congratulations.
Okay, last but not least, we have June Employee of the Month. So if Brett Legan could come up here, please.
Judge, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Sure.
And before you make fun of my mask, Commissioner, if I could get one that'd cover all my chins, I'd have to wear a bed sheet. So this is all I could do under short circumstances. Glisten, they don't make them in our size. So we do what we can, what we can. If it was a community award that we were giving out today, I'd probably give it to Joe from Joe's Italian. Joe doesn't work for the county, but Joe has done some work for the county and the people of Montgomery County. The guy goes above and beyond. If I was to recognize other agencies, I could spend all day. There are two captains that come to mind right off the bat, Andy Eason and Tim Holyfield. Two captains from the Sheriff's Department, long before the public saw it, had started working to help us empty the jail of people who didn't need to be there, draw down those numbers to make it safe for everybody. And so when I always talk about heroes, I think there are so many that don't get just recognition. People turn to the TV and they look at sports stars and they look at actors and actresses to shape their opinions. In reality, our heroes are the teachers, right? The ones that are now full-time teachers because they're stay-at-home moms with the kids. We got our fully employed teachers, our firefighters, our police officers. Those are our heroes. And in our case, our hero comes in a little bit different package. I could nominate so many people, but our hero came in a package of an IT guy. And so when COVID hit for us, right, the district attorney's office didn't shut down. Law enforcement didn't shut down. And so, but we had to send people home. And we continued to work remotely. We continued to do Zoom calls. We continued to do jail calls. We continued to do all the things that it takes. And you have to do it in a secured manner as well because the data and the information that we have and all those protocols have to be followed. Our hero is a guy named Noah Richardson. Noah. So here this nerd comes and saves the day. And like I said, when you talk about heroes, they do come in different size, shapes, and packages, those types of deals. The fact that an IT director led the way for us, got everybody secure when we immediately sat everybody home, laptops, workstations, secured abilities to access sensitive information, those types of deals. He's a 24-hour-a-day hero for Montgomery County District Attorney's Office. And, gentlemen, I thank you for allowing me the time to recognize Noah Richardson as our Employee of the Month.
Congratulations. Well done.
I hope we don't forget about Joe when all this is over.
I hope not.
Don't forget about that guy. He has done amazing things.
All right. As we move forward, item number 9, the County Clerk's Office. Do I have a motion to approve? And we have A, B, and C are all minutes from May, June 1st, and June 9th. Do we have a motion to approve all the minutes?
Move on A, B, and C.
Second. There's all in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right, as we move to the consent agenda, are there any amendments or changes to the consent agenda that anyone would like to make?
Yes, Judge, I'd like to move item 13B to executive session for counsel.
Which item is that?
So it's on page 8 of...
Page what?
Okay, that's an open. You want to move that?
Sorry.
Yeah, we can.
It was on consent.
Emergency management, okay.
13B.
Okay. Sorry.
It's on open.
Sorry.
Okay.
I apologize. But I still want to move it.
That's all right. We can move that. But in just a moment, let's go ahead and finish our consent agenda. Are there any changes to our consent agenda that we'd like to make or any amendations?
I have
none. I move on consent.
Okay. If not, then we have a motion to approve the agenda with no modification. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Let's move on to our current agenda, open agenda. And number 11, the 435th District Court. Judge McGinnis, are you here?
No, but I talked to Judge McGinnis about this particular issue, and I believe she made the changes that the court requested, and no one is getting a raise. There's a promotion involved, and she's lowered the salary down of the other position that we discussed, so I move.
Yes. So really, it's a position.
Congratulate Judge McGinnis on cooperating with us and listening to us, and
absolutely.
And she made those corrections, and I second. Thank you, Judge.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any more discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. The Office of Court Administration, and that is going to involve A, B, and C. So as we get through these, just stay there till we're complete. Judge Gilbert?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning, Judge.
Good morning, judges and commissioners. I'm
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chad.
All right.
So item number A, proceed.
If you don't mind, I'm going to just address all of them together. I've got a short PowerPoint just to kind of bring you all up to speed. If you all remember, this is the culmination of a two-year project back in November. I'm calling it the new court launch. But back in November of...
Judge, understand by doing that, we have three, as has been noticed, we have three considerations and required three approvals.
Exactly. I just meant the discussion will cover probably the issues for all three.
Okay, well, let's go ahead. Go ahead.
Take questions.
Proceed.
If you all recall, back in November of 2018, Judge Hamilton and I appeared before you guys. The Board of Judges, after several months of reviewing data, had come to the conclusion that we needed a new district court. At that time, after our presentation, the Commissioner's Court approved 4-1, signed a resolution which gave us the ability to start speaking to our local legislators about that. We returned to you to get a reaffirmation of that resolution in February of 2019 as we had two new members of the court, Commissioners Met and Judge Keough, at that time unanimously approved the resolution, signed a resolution. With that support, the Board of Judges, the entire Commissioner's Court, were able to get the legislature to create what is now the 457th District Court. That court exists. It's been in existence since September 1 of last year. It doesn't operate yet because we don't have a judge to run it. As all of you, I'm sure, are aware, we have a runoff July 14th. We'll know who the Republican victor is. I have spoken directly to Peggy Venables, who is the, let me get her title, appointments director for the governor's office. While she can't say definitively, it sounds very clear to me that Governor Abbott intends to appoint right after the Republican runoff, whoever the victor is, from that. So what we've done, items A and B on the agenda, are proposed budgets that would go into effect, one, to fund this court beginning July 15th through the end of the fiscal year, and I'm going to address some comments that were made by Mr. Yalick in just a minute. God love him, he always throws me a curve, but we'll cover that. Also the changes that this will impact on another court. Anyway, what I wanted to bring to your attention was what's happened over the past 2 years since we came to you. When we came and y'all approved a new court, we showed how our population continued to grow. Well, in the last 2 years since then, Nothing's changed. It's continued. We're up, according to the 2019 data, almost 610,000 people in our county. I'm sure it's higher as of this point. And, of course, this is a census year. I don't know what the numbers will be. We also looked at our caseload. Our caseload for the county had continued to grow over the past 10 years when we were before you 2 years ago. Same thing is happening. 2018, we had almost 38,000 cases, and in 2019, we had 37-some-odd thousand cases, and these cases do not include probate, guardianship, or mental health cases. If we add those, we're over 40,000 cases per year as a county. I think one of you have asked before, who recommends how many courts we need? Well, that's the State Office of Court Administration. That's where we got these numbers in 2018. David Slayton runs that and keeps the data for all courts within the state of Texas. 2 years ago, his office was saying Montgomery County needed two district courts and one statutory county court. We only requested one district court. And if you look, I don't know if, well, it doesn't let me show a mouse on here. At the time, we had 4.5 judges for felony courts. The state said we needed 5.1. We had 1.8 for civil district. State said we needed 3.6. We had 4.9 for family. State said we needed 5.8. Our biggest area of or gap difference was obviously in civil. The Board of Judges has already dictated this new court, the 457th, will be exclusively civil. So again, what's changed? Well, since 2 years ago for felony, y'all recently created a new AJ position, Judge Bluestein, which gives more assistance to the felony courts, so we've closed that gap. Civil, the biggest gap, well, here shortly we're going to have a new judge of the 457th. However, when that happens, Judge Robin, who is the only hybrid court left since we went specialized in 2012, half civil, half family, will be moved to all family. That decision's already been made by the Board of Judges, so we will gain up to 2.3. But if you notice, I also put an asterisk by 3.6, the state need. I feel fairly comfortable in telling you that the next time the OCA puts its data out, it won't say we need 3.6 judges for civil district cases in Montgomery County. Why? Well, quite frankly, because Judge Bays and Judge Robin worked their tails off in 2019. If you look, when Judge Bays began, there were over 2,200 pending active cases in the 284th District Court. After 1 year, there were under 1,800 in the civil district. And you can see the discrepancy in numbers. This shows you how inefficient a hybrid court is. But Judge Robin, again, disposed of approximately 40 pending cases, which means we had a reduction in 1 year of almost 500 pending active cases in our district civil courts. So if you reduce that 3.6 by 17%, you're going to have a state need of about 2.9 to 3.0 judges. So we're feeling pretty confident that our plan for what we have going forward is going to cover our civil need for a while. Also, in family, what's happened? Well, we lost our CPS cluster court, you might have heard. So we've lost that judge, but we'll be gaining Judge Robin full-time, and what we're hoping will be approved this morning to make her a full family court. When this happens, we will no longer have any hybrid courts remaining. We will all be specialized and more efficient, again, closing the gap on what we need for judicial employees in Montgomery County for family. The other reason why I think we've got things covered for the foreseeable future as to district civil cases and family cases is because I believe, and I'm confident, that Montgomery County judges are more efficient than the numbers that the state uses. Why? If you will recall, when we came here 2 years ago, we analyzed our numbers against the counties that were the two larger ones above us, which are Denton and Fort Bend, and the two smaller, Williamson and Cameron. We're in the middle of that population. That's 9, 10, 11. We're the 11th most populous county, then 12 and 13. If we analyze for each county how many cases each judge handles for felony, our judges handle almost 1,600. This is active cases disposed of each year. Our felony judges dispose of more cases than all other felony judges in those counties.
And these numbers come from the state?
From David Slayton's office, yes, sir. This is what we were showing you 2 years ago. Civil is the same thing. Our judges dispose of more cases compared to those four counties. Family is even more discrepancy. Our judges dispose of significantly more cases. So that's why I feel confident that this system that we've come up with is going to definitively cover district civil cases and family cases for the foreseeable future. Our intent is to not come back here and ask for another court for those reasons for at least another decade or more. I think it's been 12 years since the creation of prior courts before the 457th. What we believe this does is maximize judicial efficiency. It allows attorneys and litigants, who of course are your constituents, to have timely disposition of their cases, quite frankly on the criminal side, keep our jail population down. And lastly, as I stated, we shouldn't be coming back to talk about district civil or family cases to you guys for a long, long time. What you have before you that Chad passed out is the proposed budgets. The first page is 12A. And I'd like to respond to what Mr. Yalick said. This is a budget. And Mr. Yalick may very well end up being the judge of the 457th District Court. And if he becomes the judge of the 457th District Court, he has the complete authority to say, I don't want my county stipend. I don't want to have three staffers. I only want to have two staffers. I don't want them to make X. I want them to make Y that's less. That's completely within his prerogative.
With Judge, if I may, just for a second.
Yes.
With that in mind, because that's kind of what, in my thinking, if we have and a couple questions to be answered, but the first one, as you speak about this, so if you carry this thought through, we have an election coming up, and we essentially are not getting, or should we be getting input from the individual who is going to be operating the courts?
Sure. Let me tell you.
You see what I'm saying? And we're making this decision. It's kind of like in a couple things, decisions were made in other areas before people came into those positions, and they're kind of scratching their head and they're backing up, and how did that happen? And they had no say in it.
Just
a couple weeks away here, 3 weeks away.
If I may, I'll respond in two ways and why. First of all, I can tell you when my court began, which also at the same time, 435th, County Court 5 began at the same time. The budgets, what you're saying was not what happened. The budget was given to us. It was already designed. Here you go. Now, the budget that you have in front of you, the second response is the 457th is going to be a mirror of the 284th. They will be our two full-time district courts. They will hear the exact same number of cases. They will be 50-50 on the district civil cases, same number of cases. The day that judge gets sworn in for the 457th, whoever it is, all of the 410th pending civil cases will be transferred immediately to the new court. And then a number, it'll depend upon the numbers that day, but approximately 500-600 pending civil cases will transfer from the 284th. This has already been done by the Board of Judges. And that court will instantaneously have 1,000 to 1,500 pending civil cases with set trials, ready to go. So that person is going to need to be able to hire people immediately and get to work because those cases are ready to go. Yes, that person has the ability to not utilize the entire budget if they don't want to. And I feel confident in telling you that none of these budgets, the actual expenses incurred, the only way you incur the totality of this budget is if everyone is hired and begins on July 15th. Let's assume the new judge gets sworn in on August 1st and it takes a week or two to hire some people. The county won't actually incur the costs of this budget, but the budget
we do,
will be there.
But, and correct me if I'm wrong, Amanda, but by voting on this today, we are encumbering X amount of dollars that we no longer could use if we needed that, especially given where we're at in our general fund.
So, Judge, basically what would happen is, yes, we would file the budget modification for July 15th. And then what would happen is to move that money back into regular contingency, we would wait at the end of every month, then we would do the vacancy savings sweep and move it back to the regular contingency line if, like Judge Gilbert was saying, that it doesn't get filled immediately. So the money would go back. The jury fund is set up a little bit differently. Like right now, if you decided to vote on this today, you would be pulling that from general fund contingency. Once we sweep it, from a jury fund department, we actually put it in the jury fund contingency to help any offsets with court operations or anything that might be a little bit, you know, higher than what we anticipate. So it does go to a different contingency line, but in the end, it does hit a contingency line.
And Judge, if I may, I think Ms. Carter actually had an idea several months ago. Of course, we were thinking this might be something we'd be discussing in the March budget hearings that never took place, and originally the runoff was going to be in May. Two of these positions, one on A and one on B, are court reporters. She came up with the possible idea of invading the court reporter fund. The court reporter fund currently has a balance of $340,000-some-odd. That would be $48,000 of these two budgets combined. If you look at them, they total approximately $160,000. If you utilize that for those two amounts, which I believe the county attorney has confirmed we could for the remainder of this fiscal year, is that correct? That would only necessitate budgeting $112,000 from contingency, which my understanding contingency balance as of today is about $478,000. So I think we have...
And jury contingency?
The
court reporter. Court reporter?
No. Court reporter's $340,000. Contingency balance is $478,000.
And that's the general fund contingency.
Right.
You're talking general. Okay.
So we believe the funds are there, and... As they're unused, they'll be swept back in, but these need to be in place so that whatever day it is that this judge begins and all these huge changes happen in the courts, that the courts can actually operate and run.
I agree with Judge Gilbert.
Absolutely.
This has been going on now for 2-3 years.
We've kicked this can down the road as far as we can.
Great presentation, by the way. And I can tell there was a lot of work that went into it. And we've got to fund this court to where they can start to work as soon as they get there. I mean, we're talking, what, $30,000, $40,000 different. If we can't afford that right now, we've got a real problem. And if they don't use it, we'll get it back. But I agree that the incoming judge, whenever that will be and whoever it will be, should have that input as to what he does. We should not make that opinion today. We should base our numbers on what we've gotten from the district judge and OCA. Obviously, they've gone to a lot of work for it. And what
12A is, Judge, is it's the exact same setup as Judge Bays has, except for each position. We didn't put the numbers where her people are. We put each grade at the lower end of that pay grade.
Okay, but we have another element to this, and that is the 410th.
Yes, sir.
As opposed to just the 457th, because doing what you want to do in B, you're closing 110,000. You're adding 132,000 for a net increase. With the court reporter, you're adding, basically, if you add that together, it's 221 for an impact of next budget of $145,000 on something that really technically is not part of the 457th.
Well, it's a byproduct of the 457th.
It happened because of creating the 457.
The 410th was the remaining hybrid court, half civil, half family. And that was given the creation of the new court. Again, the caseload distribution's already been done. It's already been ordered. The new court's going to be all civil. The 410th won't have any civil. The same day that all the civil piles into the 457th, hundreds of cases of family cases are going to be moved into the 410th. So it will be an all-family court, and we're trying to mirror it to our other full-time family courts, which is my court and Judge McDonald's court. And so that's what you're seeing there is the change that's been inevitable from day one that we knew was coming when we created this court.
Judge, how many cases, when the 457th is up and running, ready to go, how many cases will be transferred to that court day one?
It's a moving figure, ballpark 1,500.
Okay. And how many will go, how will that affect the 410th? How many comes into the 410th, and how many does she get rid of?
Ballpark total family for the 410th will be 1,300. I couldn't say exactly one of the changes that's happening. Right now, the 410th is not hearing CPS cases. Mm-hmm. Judge McDonald has been hearing her cases, and she's been begging to end up hearing all of the CPS cases. So all of the CPS is going to move to Judge McDonald's court, and then she's only going to hear 20% of the non-CPS family load. Judges Robin and I will be hearing 40%. So our numbers are going to increase from where we are now. But our last OCA reports, I think, were from April, so you're looking in the 1,300 range. And remember, you're talking apples and oranges here.
Yeah.
different types of cases require different amounts of judicial time, family being one of the higher time requirements.
Good job. I move on 12, A, B, and C.
I second.
I'd like to vote on these independently, please.
They're all tied together.
Well, we have a motion. Do you want to, would you like
I move on A, B, and C.
Well, it's, we can amend the motion. How we?
No, if that's his motion, he can.
Got a motion and a second.
We have a second. Any more discussion on the item? Amanda, just real fast. Go over the math on this one more time.
Okay. So
contingency,
for
where we're at in jury. Convince us one more time, please.
Okay, that, I don't know about the convincing part.
Well,
but.
Well, that these absolutely have to go together.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why, gentlemen. The reason I say why is because we have talked for weeks and weeks and weeks, given this COVID situation, of not adding, keeping budget down, facing a difficult budget coming up. It's the only reason I'm asking about this. And if we have resources, if we've got jury fund monies, if this is workable through next year.
And, Judge, kind of to piggyback on what you're saying, I have two questions, one for each of you. One, I agree with you, or a comment on this half, that I don't know that it makes any sense to pre-fund this today when the election's, you know, 3 weeks from now, and whoever wins can come in and...
We don't have another court for 3 weeks.
We can do it the day we certify the election. I mean, there's plenty of time, and we don't know that the governor's going to appoint anyway, for sure. We have no way of knowing that that's a certainty.
I can give you Ms. Venable's response if again.
No, I've
yeah,
heard,
she
and
she can't commit, but I can tell you, she was. Let's say
I've
surprised that the court hadn't been funded already.
What would it matter if it's funded?
You have to ask her that.
There's no way that we're not going to fund this court when it's needed, but to at least then we'd be giving that the new judge the opportunity to say, I want this position and that position, not come in with something preset. And number two, on the associate judge, we continue to add to your presentation proves that this court has worked cooperatively with the district judges in making sure that the funding is there for the judges to keep up with the pace of new cases as well as population. And, you know, all of the commissioners here can give you all sorts of data showing that we are woefully underfunded when it comes to the roads in Montgomery County. And if we can't get our people from where they are to where they want to be, that's just as problematic as any other issue. In Precinct 3 alone, I have a study done by professionals that say we have a $1 billion need in road improvements. Well, we're not going to get that. That's not how things work. You don't always get exactly what you want. But when it comes to the associate judge, I need to understand what exactly does we have Judge Bluestein now. We have, I believe you have an associate judge. I believe Patrice McDonald may have an associate judge. We've got Paul D'Amico. I think we now have up to five.
Four.
This will be five?
This would be five.
Associate now, again, judges. And, you know, I don't know really what an associate judge does. I know when I vote for Tracy Gilbert, I vote for Tracy Gilbert to be the judge. I don't know. It's kind of like when you go to the doctor. I don't necessarily want to see a PA. I might want to see the doctor. So the people in your court, they may not get to see you. They see an associate judge, correct?
They may. So,
and how does that work?
So an associate judge, first of all, again, apples and oranges. Paul D'Amico, David Bluestein, government code AJs. Particularly in this county, almost all they hear are criminal cases. They help with juvenile. They help with mental health. Family code AJs, completely different. Under Chapter 201 of the Family Code, if you look at any county that has specialty courts, mm-hmm. and guys, if it's not clear, I am a complete believer of specialty courts. When I began, we had general courts. We had jail problem.
Yeah.
Specialty courts are significantly more efficient than general jurisdiction courts. Got to have the right person driving the boat, But if you do, you're going to be able to move a lot more cases. And the data I just showed you, comparing us to the counties above and below us, that's what we're doing here in Montgomery County now. We're doing more with less, period. Every specialty family court in counties across the state have an associate judge, and here's why. There are so many cases, so many cases. Yes, ultimately people cannot waive de novo. They can ultimately have their trial heard to the elected judge if they want to, but this enables me, instead of only hearing 10 cases a day or 6 cases a day, depending upon if they're contested or not, with an associate judge, we're able to docket 30, 40 cases a day, and we're hearing two things at once. If it's an uncontested matter, if it's something that's not a huge dispute, would you rather come to court and pay your attorney $200-$300 an hour and wait hours to get to hear, be heard by me, or would you be fine going to someone who could hear you in 5-10 minutes and get you out of there and off the clock? Associate judges help make the system significantly more efficient, and from the commissioner's standpoint, from a significantly less expensive cost than an entire new court. If we don't get this, my representation to you that I won't be here asking for another family court in the near future won't stand. Mm-hmm. We've got to have it.
With Judge Gilbert on A, B, and C, and I agree with the matter. We need to fund this court with this budget, and whoever gets elected, if they don't want to use this budget, they got the right to do what they need to do with this budget. I agree with that. So I think we need to move as it is.
I've been where, not exact circumstances, but not far from it, that at the peak, when I served at JP, we dealt with 35,000 cases a year at a JP court. We were the 14th largest court in the state of Texas out of 822 at the time. We do 1,500 cases on arraignment day. So you had to come up with some ideas to be as efficient as you possibly can, and I think you guys ought to be commended for what you're doing, and as efficient as you are by your numbers, you've already reduced the caseload over there. And I don't know of anything more that you could be doing to make it any better than you are. And from our standpoint, we're arguing about funding this when we could be trying to figure out how to fund three courts instead of one with a little bit of help to the others. So absolutely, I support what you guys are trying to do and commend you for the great job you're doing.
Amanda, you had some
I do have a couple things. In the motion, I am going to need a funding source. The second part of it, I just want to make sure that what you vote on today also impacts my FY 2021 preliminary budget. So I wanted to give you those numbers so that you have the impact on the 2021. For item 12A, the impact for the 2021 budget is $547,606.42. That's a little bit different than what Chad showed you, just because we've updated some numbers.
That could change depending on who's elected.
Exactly, yes, sir. What I would say worst case scenario. I don't know if that's
and that right. Has nothing to do with Judge Gilbert or the district judge. That court is established. It really is just
yes.
The funding that's required. So yes. I just wanted to point that out. That has nothing to do with what the district judges are asking for.
Yeah.
And then the FY 2021 impact for item 12B is $145,960.34. Okay.
What's your recommendation for a funding source?
Yeah, so I actually do. I've talked to Rakesh about this. I do think that the part of the court reporter salaries, both for FY 2020 and 2021, should probably be paid out of the court reporter service fund. Okay. So I do recommend that, you know, for the court reporter on both the 457th and the 410th, that those increases could be charged to the court reporter fund. And then when I build my 2021 budget, I'm also going to build a little bit of those salaries into the court reporter fund as well.
How would I need to adjust my motion to account for
that? Why don't you authorize the budget officer to use the appropriate funding source, including the court reporter fund and contingency as necessary?
Okay, I adjust my motion to reflect that, whatever that is.
All right.
And I'll second.
Second.
All right. Is there any more discussion? If not, Judge, thank you for the thoughtful presentation.
Thank you.
Giving us thorough information. We appreciate it so much. And, Chad, for what you guys do. So we have a motion on the table. There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Judge.
You'll have a good day.
Good presentation. Thank you, Chad. Good presentation.
All right. As we move on, item 13. Now, understand we have A, B, and C in this. B is going to be moved to the executive session.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
So let's go through item A. Jason?
Commissioners, can we, and Judge, can we go to the executive session now? Some of these items fall within. If that doesn't happen, then I need to scratch some of the other things off. So
wait, does anybody have any opposition to that? Can we do that? Let's do it. Okay.
Can we come back and do this? Can we do this? Can we do the rest of the agenda, then come back to this?
What's the best way to do this?
Completely up to you, the court. You can do it. You can go to executive session now. We can move
emergency management. Let's just go on down to 14.
Yeah,
let's get through the agenda, then we'll take 13 out. Thank you.
Executive session, don't we?
All right.
Okay. All right.
All right, let's go to community development, item 14.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr.
Ducharme, proceed.
Please consider and approve the 2020 CARES Act Round 1 funding agreement between the county and Community Assistance Center. This is the ESG CV Fund, $775,334, I believe. These are not the funds that the court is giving to the department. These are CDBG funds, and we're ready to fly with those.
Move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well done. All right. Purchasing. Gilbert.
Good morning. Our first item is to approve change orders. The first change order is change order one for Commissioner Precinct 1's project in the amount of $81,165. This is the Spring Branch Road project.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Gilbert?
Yes, sir. Item two is change order number three. It's a Precinct 2 project, Grand Pines Road. $116,012.25.
You want to move that to Precinct 1 also?
I tried to, but he just walked back in.
All right. Any discussion?
Second.
You're good.
We have a motion. We have a second. We're in discussion on item A, 2 of purchasing.
Take care of me, Gil.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number B.
This is to award project 2017. This is our telephone system for IT. The vendor is Consolidated Communications, and the cost is $39,071 per month, and this is a 36-month agreement.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, Gilbert. Appreciate your hard work. All right. Precinct 2. Commissioners, let's talk about TOW.
I'm not sure how that ended up with me.
Yeah, look at that.
Anyway, we're going to consider and approve ordinance regulating the incident management, towing, rotation, and storage services of Montgomery County, Texas. As you all remember, we've been dealing with this for quite a while. We've been dealing with this longer than we should have been dealing with it. And we've had the workshops, we've had the courts, we've had the comments. And I think we've got a towing ordinance is about as close to as we can get it. We're not going to please everybody, we know that, but we're going to try to put this thing, I hope we're going to try to put this thing in operations, and we got 6 months to give people time to get in compliance. And I want everybody to realize and remember that this is a living document. If there's something out there that's not going to really work, what I'm going to ask, and I hope this court agrees, is that the sheriff's office and the people that know towing regulations, the people that know how to work the towing, figure out what makes it work. If you need to change it, and let's move on. We don't want to go through this again. We want y'all to take this and massage it, make it work, what fits y'all, what fits the county, and we'll support you on that. So I know we've had some discussion this morning, and we had some comments, and I think those have been addressed in this ordinance, and I'm going to make the motion that we approve the towing ordinance as it is today.
Second.
Is there a second? We do have a second? All right. Any discussion? I have one question. As I've looked over both of these and kind of compared, it is the question that was brought up a few moments ago about the individual who is doing the towing. Commissioner Riley has to have the lot, and as opposed to multiple people towing to the same lot. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. I'm just, what at the end of the day is the reason that it has to be that way as opposed to multiple? If everybody has licenses, titles, everything that they need and has paid all the fees.
I'm going to let Captain Holly. Can you address
Captain Holly, would you?
And it's, and it has been addressed. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Judge, commissioners, thank you for the opportunity. There's been a lot of time put in on this, and we would not be where we are today without the hard work of the committees, Commissioners Riley, Commissioner Metz, Busher from the county attorney's office. We took the advice and comments from tow truck operators and companies. And so to address the issue of storage facilities was very simple. If you're going to be in the non-consent towing business, it is inherent that you have to store the vehicle because you don't have consent of the owner. So you're going to have to store it. So requiring every non-consent tow truck company to have their own storage facility means that there's no longer who's responsible for any damage or missing property. It does not in anywhere in the ordinance prevent a parcel of land from being subdivided between two tow truck companies. So to answer Mr. Bass's concern, it's not one. It just requires that they have their own vehicle storage facility license. That's all it required. So if you took an acre of land and you divided it, by definition, a vehicle storage facility has to have the capability of storing 10 vehicles. That's it. It's in the ordinance, number 25. And so it outlines what the definition is. We just require that if you're going to own a tow truck company and you're going to tow vehicles without the consent of the owner, you have to have a facility to store them. And we don't want vehicles being used by multiple storage facilities, because we've had instances in the past where there's been reported theft, reported damage, and who's responsible for it?
Or can't find your vehicle.
So now if you tow the vehicle, you're responsible for it until it gets back to the owner.
Now, just for clarification, somebody could own, say, 2 acres.
Correct.
And he has said, okay, my tow truck is here, and I've got license and all this agreement and everything. However, we've got a fence through here.
Correct.
And I'm in agreement with this guy over here with license and agreement and fees. He can store his stuff here. This guy can store his here. Although this guy over here, he maybe has a lease to lease and be
Correct.
Involved, but he doesn't have ownership.
Nowhere in the ordinance does it require someone to purchase or own real estate. They
okay.
just simply have to have a facility to store it. It can be by way of a gentleman's agreement, can be a lease agreement. They just have to have a parcel of land that they have access to for storage, and it must be fenced and comply
okay.
with TDLR requirements for vehicle storage facility. That's all.
Okay. All right. Is there any more discussion?
There was some question a while ago, too, about the $25 administration fee for it. That's for towed vehicles only.
Correct. And that's outlined also in the list of costs. It actually identifies that administrative fee, rather, applies to towed vehicles, not bicycles, not lawnmowers, but
okay.
vehicles.
Got right. It. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
So I believe we've met all of the tow truck operators as best we can, their concerns, in complying with the need for a rotation system, giving them 6 months to get in compliance before it goes into effect January, and we go to the encrypted system.
Do we really tow lawnmowers? Does that happen?
Yes, Commissioner, I would say.
It's called tractors and brush hogs, right?
I think there's a country song about somebody on a lawnmower.
You're drinking a beer on your mower.
That was George Jones.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second, and I understand that there's maybe questions, there's comments to be made, but this is not a community open meeting. This is an agended meeting, a noticed meeting, and this is the topic here, and the motion is on the floor with a second. We have had discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Judge. Commissioner
yes.
Charlie Riley and James Metz, y'all did do a great job on this.
Yeah.
We've been working on this.
Thanks for your work.
Since
Thank you.
I got on this court, and you two finally got it across the finish line.
Thank you all very much.
It was going on before
now,
you got on the court.
Amy, concerning
you, Tim Hollifield.
I have a question of procedure here.
Hang on. Can I? I'm
sure.
Sorry.
Yes. No, go ahead. Sure. Absolutely.
I want to thank Captain
yes.
Hollifield, the sheriff.
Absolutely.
Who else was in on the
Bushra.
Roy. Who? I'm thinking of Tim. Mel, all those guys.
And
y'all did a great job, and we thank y'all for all y'all.
Absolutely.
And Will Metcalf for offering this in the legislature. It's awesome. Thank you all very much.
Good.
Appreciate it. All right. By way of procedure, Amy, I have a question for you. Since we have moved emergency management, we can do Well, Jason, you're one. We have to discuss the other before you. All right, let's, at this time, we're going to move. Executive session, court recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. Thank you, and we'll be back in a few moments. Oh, we're still waiting on Commissioner Nowak. He'll be here in just a moment. There he is, Commissioner Nowak. Thank you.
Got lost.
All right, Amy, if you would quit. Should we do the A first and then come? Okay.
Yeah.
Jason, proceed.
Thank you, Judge and Commissioners. Item 13A is to consider and approve an interlocal between the county and Montgomery County Hospital District. This is to augment the testing capabilities that the hospital district has done, the voucher program that they've put in place. Their current program tests, by the grant that they're using to test symptomatic. This would allow us to test symptomatic and asymptomatic and expand that capability.
I don't know. Why are we testing asymptomatic people? All that does is drive up the results, and you find out you got a lot of positive people that aren't sick. What the hell
does that? There's two reasons for just testing everybody. One, an asymptomatic person that's identified can be isolated as soon as we know that they're positive, so they do not continue to spread the virus while they're asymptomatic. So that's one reason. The second is testing everybody will give us a clearer picture of our actual positivity rate.
At that one point in time.
Well, and cumulative as well. So two to almost 3 weeks ago, we were testing close to 4,000 people a week, and our positivity rate was around 4%. Now we've dropped down to close to 2,000 a week because the demand has fallen and our positivity rate's gone up to 8%. The numbers are the same. It's the same amount of people, but it looks bad when you're having a higher positivity rate. In fact, we have the same positivity rate. It's just we're not capturing enough testing data to show that. So but the demand for tests has actually increased this week. Now that COVID's back in the news and talking about surge in hospitals and things, it's funny how people react to that type of news and want to be tested. And the demand's back up. We've had several sites yesterday and Sunday that capped out and tested to the max they were allowed to test, where that was not happening in the previous 2 weeks. So the demand's back up. And the hospital district at this time has only utilized close to 17% of their voucher capability. We don't actually anticipate this being used yet. This is at the very end. But we want the ILA in place just in case we do. It's, it caps out at $100,000 committed from the CARES Fund.
I get it, and we don't want people, you know, running around spreading the virus. But at the same time, to test just so our statistical sampling looks better is kind of silly as well.
We know, just to comment on that, because, you know, I think about that all the time. It makes me crazy. However, the governor did come out, when he did come out with his order and that we were going to be open up in three phases, flat out said, you're going to see an increase in cases as a result of increased testing.
Correct.
We did not have the capacity before. It was only for symptomatic. Now we do have the opportunity for asymptomatic. We have the fund set aside. We have the vouchers set aside. So people are able to come and get tested.
Correct.
Now the connection to that is the stuff that has to do with which is a whole other issue. Well, never mind. That's not a noticed issue, so forget about that. But at the same time,
it's just, you know, Judge, we don't have a line of people standing around wanting to. You don't have asymptomatic people going to get tested for the flu, and that's just as important. You know, we don't want them spreading the flu. I hate it being so dismissively said. I don't want people running around spreading anything knowingly either. My point is, when we're testing people that are asymptomatic, hell, why don't we screen everybody for cancer and heart disease and everything else? At the same time, it's a waste of time and resources to asymptomatically test people. It's just
here's the problem. There's another element.
Agreeing with me.
If there's another element to this that you can't forget about, when you're talking about the flu, you're talking about pneumonia, some of these other things, you're not seeing something on every news channel that's talking about testing, that's talking about COVID, and all of the elements and ancillary things associated with it. You got the hospitals keeping these hypergraphs on all the stuff that has to do with beds. We never hear any of that for any of this other stuff. So the public awareness of what is going on, along with what Hellerstedt, the governor, the declared emergency,
yeah.
I mean, it's just like overwhelming.
And the ILA goes beyond just testing. It's also supplies, PPE, related stuff between the two agencies. So it's not just for testing, but it's...
No, you're just getting the brunt of my
we appreciate
my sentiment
that.
On this whole thing.
I mean, I heard the dreaded TV in here. If anybody's listening to the TV, they need to stop doing that right now.
I agree.
Well, do we have a motion on this? Three more discussion. Okay, do we have a motion?
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries. Thank
All
you
right.
very much.
For 13B, the item we talked about in the executive session, the resolution has been amended to remove numbers 4 and 5 from the original. This would authorize overtime payments for Montgomery County Public Safety agencies and departments, authorize overtime for all public safety offices, agencies, and departments paid out of the CARES Act fund, and to authorize submission of timesheets identifying overtime of employees and public safety agencies to the departments for payroll and audit.
For COVID-19 pandemic.
No activity law. Correct. Yes, sir. We removed that language.
All right. Do we have a motion on this? We have a motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
All right.
C.
And item C has got a couple items, and that's why we needed to go to executive session, so they kind of flow together. The first request is based on the RNO that's now passed. The last pay period, which ended July 12th, that comp time was not paid out. It was earned as comp time. We need to pay that out of comp time so it gets off the books, off the liability. Authorize the county auditor to pay out the comp time and charge Department 650 for it, not an amount to exceed $30,000.
I have a motion.
And that's for
a
pay period that ended July 12th.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
As the court's aware, a couple weeks ago, the committee requested some funds for IT to continue to purchase items and equipment for increasing our telework and commuting work from home remotely capabilities. IT has received more requests for items than that authorization was for. They're requesting additional 500,000 authorizations so they can continue to fulfill those requests.
And IT, does that include the changes made into Precinct 3 office and for the judge's office with regards to the new
Zoom.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is included in there?
Yeah.
Okay, making sure.
All right. In discussion.
And that would
do we have a motion?
Authorization for $500,000 out of the 650 CARES Act fund.
Okay. We have a motion. We have a second.
Yes.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll be All brief. Right. The next item is we do have a few individuals who are quarantined that are staying in hospitals while they are quarantined. During that time, OEM is providing them with meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some of the incidents we're running into is some of the meals, depending on where we're purchasing from, have taxes or delivery fees and service
fees.
Who are
you providing meals for?
We have quarantined people.
Who?
First responders, firefighters, law enforcement individuals, and individuals who cannot go home because they have too many people in their home. They can't quarantine at home safely. So part of our requirement under the CARES Act is to provide them somewhere to stay. That stay is funded with the CARES Act funds. But
and we're buying food, too?
Yes, that's also a requirement that we do. The problem is we've run into some of the taxes and service fees are being charged, and the individual using their P-card are reimbursing the county for those expenses. We'd like authorization from you guys to allow those funds to be paid and authorize the auditor to pay out those taxes, service fees, and delivery associated with those meal purchases.
Move.
Second. And if a commissioner comes down with that, you going to bring me lunch, too?
We will bring you whatever you need.
Making sure.
Morgan, as our employee of the month, because they were tired of fast food, she cooked them a homemade meal over the weekend and served them. So
I'll do fast food.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, do we have any more discussion on that?
Home.
Motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, and then the last two items, I'll pass out a couple things for this because they're...
Man, I kind of like Metter's. I move on A, B, C, D, E.
I kind of thought that's what we were going to do. Let's just do it.
Wait till budget session. I'm going to move on a month.
So as we were talking about earlier with the surge in the hospitals in the area, seeing an increase in cases in the hospitals, as of right now, Montgomery County hospitals are not in that predicament. We have seen an uptick in cases. And in some of our critical beds, the ICU beds, we are getting close to exceeding capacity in some cases. But our number of vents that we have available, we have a great supply available. OEM has worked with, Darren has worked with the hospitals to ensure that if we did have to set up a surge capacity location, we're not doing something like Harris County did where they set up a facility off-site away from the hospitals at a very large cost. I think Harris County's was $17 million. Ours would be set up at the hospital where they can staff that facility and put provide the equipment and the medical durable beds and things that needed.
What's the percentage of their projection of, what did they say, something like 2 weeks to surge?
Yeah, the hospital system in the region as a whole believes within the next 2 weeks the medical center is going to surge out, and that will require that will cause patients to be moved up here to our hospitals until we run out of space, and then we could potentially surge
and
as well.
Isn't this
so Harris County is going to come fill up our hospital?
They're already
As of this morning, we had 15 Montgomery County residents in hospitals in Montgomery County, but we had 93 non-Montgomery County residents in Montgomery County hospitals for COVID.
Because they're not county hospitals, they're regional hospitals.
And they're part of a system.
Part of a whole system.
Yeah. I know what you're thinking, Metter, build
water.
That wall.
Let's go.
So in order to facilitate that request, we went shopping and we looked for ideas that could fulfill that request to surge on site for the hospitals to staff it, provide the beds, provide the equipment. And instead of $17 million, the cost to purchase this kit, this item that I brought to you is less than $500,000. If we were to rent this setup, it would be $1.5 million a month, and we believe that that's really expensive when we can own it and set it up ourselves in a matter of minutes for $500,000.
And if we hadn't set it up, where would we set it up?
It would be in the parking lots of the hospitals.
Which hospital?
Right now we're working with a couple hospitals to determine if they want to be that hospital that every patient would come to and surge. Memorial Hermann's one of those. Methodist is another. They're all equally interested in having this. This setup can be set up at all locations because it's not dependent on each other's pieces.
So using our existing facilities, such as a convention center and
they do not want to do that.
I get that. But so are they saying that if we do that, they will not staff it?
They say they cannot staff those beds adequately if we move it off-site from their hospital.
How many beds will this thing hold?
The entire kit as set up will hold 65 to 75 patients, depending on how it's configured on site.
So, and they know they have enough room for
these? They do have the capacity to staff that additional bed space, and they have the beds to provide for that.
And let me ask you another question, because I was listening dutifully to the governor yesterday, and And when you read about the state's surge plan, they too have a plan for hospitals and rolling out temporary facilities. Is this redundant? Is this something that the state is going to do anyway through DHS?
Well, we're under the auspices that the state, since we were a direct recipient of CARES Act funds, are going to require us to do something first. And we don't want to be waiting for the Department of Emergency Management from the state to bring something this to us when other counties are going to be having the same problem at the same time. This would allow, this kit can be set up in a matter of minutes by one person.
How long is it going to take to get?
If we ordered it today, it would take 4 weeks to get here. So we need to move
quickly. How much
quickly.
Does the kit cost or whatever?
Less than $500,000 for the whole setup.
And then we're stuck with it.
Yes, sir. It could be utilized.
Then we can use it as triage or anything else. Can we? According to CARES Act, we can.
$500,000 to purchase it. It would stay in the climate-controlled facility you've allowed the OEM to lease because it needs to be climate-controlled. They come in pallets. We can wheel the pallet out with the forklifts that we were allowed to buy and push a button, and these things inflate, and they're set up in about 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then the hospitals can then wheel their beds in, their equipment, and
staff. That's faster than a Chinese built there.
Unbelievable.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Do we have a motion?
Need a motion to not exceed $500,000.
We're just looking at one of them right now?
The whole setup for $500,000, yes, sir.
Huh.
We need a motion to not exceed.
Can we return it?
Yeah.
We should. We could. However, there is multiple uses for this. It could be during a flood. We could shelter patients. If we were to have a flood right now where we cannot put enough people in a shelter because of social distancing requirements, this could be used for that as well. We don't hopefully not have to use it for a flood or a fire type event where we have to set up a shelter on site for
Does
a fire.
Does it float?
Yes, it's air conditioned.
Will it float?
It will float if you flip it upside down.
So
call it the Ark.
And if this is the only one, so 65 beds can fit in here.
Up to 75.
Like what Commissioner Metter was saying, I can't imagine the hospitals being like, we're not going to take care of people just because it's not on their parking lot. And we're damn sure that the footprint is going to fit somewhere.
Yeah, Darren's not only established where it could go in these places, he had these conversations with the CEOs of these hospitals.
I mean, there's nobody at the South County Community Center. We could fit far more than 65 people in there, and it's within, less than a mile from every one of those hospitals.
I've been told from the hospitals is if we go to an off-site location like a convention center or a community center, they cannot staff that. It's on their site, the insurance, everything to staff that is in place. They don't need to worry about their staffing, their schedules. All of that is taken care of by bringing it to them. That's strange. Is something that...
What's the worst thing that could happen if we just said, no, we don't want to do this, it's too much money?
If we did incur a surge of patients, we could go to drive-by and fly-by status where our traumatic arrests, heart attacks, everything else cannot fit in the hospitals because COVID's taking up the space.
What percentage are we full right now?
As of this morning, our ICU in Montgomery County had 21% of its capacity taken up by COVID. We're at 92% capacity with all patients in the ICU.
But not
the hospital itself, just the ICU.
I don't know. Maybe I guess I don't know really what I'm talking about, but if they got plenty of room in the hospital.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
Even though they're not ICU.
So
this
team, one of the other things the hospital
it's
is
not going to be ICU either.
If they fill up to that point, their normal triage and capabilities to decon people as they come in are going to be limited. This has more than just storing patients while they're being treated. It's really dependent on what the hospital needs to facilitate the demand on that hospital at that time. When they push that panic button and call OEM for logistics support, this is a tool in the chest that we need to be able to provide something to that effect.
How many rooms are vacant right now in our hospital system in Montgomery County? Not ICU, rooms. Looks like they would be a whole lot easier for them to staff than trying to set up a tent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got oxygen in every room.
Obviously, that's where they would go first.
I don't get it.
So obviously, that's where they would go first. We're not saying that tomorrow when the ICU fills up, if it was, that they're automatically going to move patients to a tent in the parking lot. That would be used as a last resort when all of the available space in the hospital are taken up.
And I'd like to know how much that is.
As of this morning, they had, let me pull it, make sure I get the Montgomery County number.
You got it.
Because we got a lot of hospitals here.
Yeah.
We got a lot of rooms. 14? Looks like that'd be a lot easier to staff.
Okay.
So
Gilbert just informed me that the latest on this product is actually a 14 to 16 week delivery. So we may need to rethink this. It may not be in time.
Yeah, well, we may not have time anyway. Yeah. And then I think it's a great idea conceptually, but I'm with Commissioner Metter. I mean, we got a lot of space we need to use first. If we got into a pinch, you can't tell me that they wouldn't take people at the community center. I mean, if that's all they have, they're not going to have them roll by. And two, they are still doing a lot of elective surgeries. If they're truly worried about, having to start limiting, they need to start by stopping elective surgeries again. I mean, there's a lot of things the hospitals can do before the county should start.
What if we waited a month to look at this?
Commissioner Metter, off the top of my head, it was 500 beds in the general beds available as of this morning.
I mean, what?
The hospitals are trying to stay open. They're trying to stay profitable. Let me finish.
Yes,
they about went under during this issue, and to go back to the governor's deal of let's no longer do elective surgeries is moving us backward in terms of opening up the area. This money would be covered through the CARES Fund. It is allowable, and also allowable by the CARES Fund if we do it and we purchase it for coronavirus as we move forward. If there's ever need, we still have it, and they're okay with that, according to the U.S. Treasury. Now, the other side of that is whatever the will of the court is, we're good.
Okay. My concern is if we've got 93 people from Harris County now with their numbers doing what they're doing, we're going to fill up with Harris County people before we do anything.
Well, 110
ain't going to do anything.
And I only know the census count of one hospital off the top of my head, but we also have Angelina County patients. We have Ector County patients.
Happen?
So when someone comes to the hospital, they may drive themselves to the nearest hospital. Under federal law, the hospitals aren't allowed to pick and choose who gets admitted based on residency.
What about during a disaster? The judge can't say our hospitals are for Montgomery County residents?
No, sir.
It's private property.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we ought to get
So this tent could be full of Harris County people, too.
It could be any person in our region that needs a hospital bed if they were to surge out and need capacity.
Has Harris County ordered any tents?
Harris County just issued another order, not for these tents, for the same setup they did several months ago that was $17 million.
They're going to do that again?
They're doing that again, yeah. They're renting the space now at $2.5 million a month.
They're renting it from who?
From a vendor. I'm not aware of the vendor.
So their service and their rental units, but they won't service?
The $2.5 million only covers the cost of the facility. It does not cover the staffing.
Okay. Okay.
Harris County's $17 million price tag included staffing that facility because it was not at the hospital. The county had to incur the cost to staff it. If we do this, we don't incur the cost to staff it because we place it at the hospital.
All right, Jason, I'm going to make a motion that if you and Gilbert can, if y'all can get this thing here within 4 weeks when it's in, I mean, find out. Because we don't need
happen,
it 16
Jay.
Weeks from, well, we don't need it 16
well,
weeks.
Let's just table the motion then and not do it, because that's just like not doing it.
Why? I mean, why not let them
because,
find out if they
Because
can
your
find
purchasing agent is sitting there telling us it's 16 weeks.
Are
Cut
you
it in half. That would be 8 weeks.
But even
Cut it in half.
That's the latest quote we got from them. It's 14 to 16 weeks.
Yeah.
After they receive the order.
Yeah, I mean, by then, who knows?
If we were to get them to rush it, I can't guarantee less than eight. I mean, I just without having
weeks,
a conversation
you know,
with them.
Fine. See if you can get it within 8 weeks. I'll say if you can get it,
just table
try to figure it out.
We've moved mountains before.
Call another vendor. I mean,
yeah.
See what else is
there. We've never
there.
Put a time limit on something. I don't like that.
Well, I don't want to buy it and get it here in December.
If we don't get it, we just don't buy it. We just do away with PO and send it back. Tell them we don't want it, but I don't like putting the timeline on it. That's just not right.
The federal government has set up through the Treasury the opportunity for us to pay for this through CARES funds.
This is the
In the event that we buy it for CARES funds, they have been very clear, if you're going to still have it after you're done, in the because it was purchased to do for CARES, that continues. And you can use it as you have it in the future. So
that's correct.
From that perspective, we're there. And the opportunity to do it is paid for, and it has the potential to benefit us if we don't get it right away.
Is this what they're doing in Harris County? And the reason I asked, the other two commissioners kind of have an idea. I mean, I don't want to encourage more people.
Well, and looking at the hospital today where we have space today, what the medical center is projecting in 2 weeks, they're going to run out of space. That puts us running out of space a week or two behind them. This is about the same time we're going to try to rush to get this here so we won't have to panic. So,
and we hope they don't run out of space. We hope we never have to use it.
And I'm hearing that if we do this, we can use this from now on for whatever we need.
Yes, sir.
That's correct.
I'm not for just spending money, but I don't know why all four commissioners don't have one.
What?
I'm telling you, what, during a flood, during a wildfire?
The wildfire was a perfect example that
we could use all
alternative
kinds of stuff. We had no place. People were sleeping on the parking lot.
Correct.
Yeah, but that discussion cannot be part of this discussion because it's totally for
right now, the idea behind it is provide surge capacity at our hospital.
Let's do it.
I move.
For one of them?
Yeah. I got my own doctor, Evan, so we're good. You're going to...
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second.
I'll second.
Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And that was to not exceed $500,000.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And the last item, and I promise I'll get out of
and
here.
And you're positive it's going to fit on the footprint of a hospital. That's,
it,
I think,
it will
the
fit,
dimensions.
Yes.
It will.
Yeah, not in the hospital,
no,
but
on
in the
parking
lot. Correct. Yes, sir. Yeah. I don't know about St. Luke's, but HCA Conroe, Herman, and Methodist have the space for it, so...
Okay, because that would be terrible if we bought it and you're like, oh,
we can't use
it.
They've all told us they are interested in it.
They
willing to
the football field.
Anyways, the next item is a forensics related item. They have a request for a body scanner. Purchasing's done a great job because of COVID. They have seen an increase in cases that they're requiring extensive diagnostic stuff done. Purchasing has worked out a great deal with this vendor where we can test the product for 90 days at no cost to the county. And after that 90 days, we can elect to purchase it. I have a pass out here if you're just curious.
What is it?
And, Commissioners, just so you know, this is also something that Dr. Pineri had submitted in her budget.
I saved you on the truck.
So this is something that we've been looking at.
$250.
Okay.
Could be this.
But, okay. but she's going to need it for COVID.
Correct.
Yes, the request came from COVID.
This is a mobile unit?
No, sir. It would be stationary.
Oh, I was going to say, you're going to drive around the county with that.
I wish. I've been trying to get them to bring us the truck, too, so we could take it places, but they're not there yet. So basically, when somebody comes in to our facility and we need to do x-rays on them, we have to take them with a single panel about the size of your computer monitors, x-rays, which takes for a full body about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on size. And we have to move the body multiple times to get the tray and the cassette underneath them. We're exposing ourselves. There are fluids coming out.
Dr. Panieri, I move. I think this does. I think we all understand what we're looking at.
Do you have room for this?
We do. It's
Is there a motion on the floor?
I move.
Is there a second?
We don't need that.
All in favor? 160,000.
We don't need to.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Bernier.
Nice.
Do we need to add on?
I've learned if I filibuster, I'll get what I want, so I'll filibuster.
God, I hope you're done.
I'm done.
All right. Is there anything else? All right. We have any citizens that are here that would like to comment on any of the things we discussed or any ancillary items that might be of interest? If we do not, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Adjourn. Move.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much.
Can we focus on living people?